much for this day that you've given us. We thank you for making it warm here, finally, as we come into mid-May, Lord. We thank you for the life that we have in you. Thank you for the hope that we have in you, that no matter what the circumstances, no matter what's going on, no matter what other people say, this hope we have in you can never be taken away from us. Thank you so much that it's so concrete in you, God. We just thank you for all of our mothers. None of us would be here without our mothers, God. And we just thank you for blessing each and every one of us with our mothers. We ask for a special blessing on all of these women this morning, Father. And we thank you for them. We ask that you'd be in our midst during our worship. Help us to just to lift our voices confidently to you, God. You remind me that when we don't feel guilty, we can come to you boldly. But even if we do feel guilty, that you're greater than our feelings. So we just ask that you'd meet us where we are this morning, Father, and minister to our hearts and our minds. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Let's get ready to rejoice in the Lord this morning. Step into his joy. Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. I try with all my heart, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a bag of bones. And just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me that I was not alone. You picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior.
Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. I'm
Lord, and he heard. I trust in God. Do you trust in God? How about a shout of praise for the one that you trust in? Thank you, Lord, that you never fail. That you never fail. And then we can put our complete trust in you, Lord, because it is you that order our steps, Lord. May we not be like the Israelites that were afraid to go into the promised land because we trust in you, because we are bold for you, because we have the courage that you design our steps and you guide our steps, and we know that we can trust and have faith in you, Lord. Lord, I pray right now that we have boldness to trust in every decision, even if it doesn't make sense, Lord. Even and especially when it seems so crazy and out of the box, Lord, that we know that we can put our trust and our full faith in you, Lord, because you have the perfect plan for our life, Lord. God, may we go and just trust in you in everything, Lord. Put our complete faith and trust in everything that you do, Lord. Lord, continue to give us opportunities for us to reach other people, Lord, as we put our faith in you and not be afraid to trust in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How about another shout of praise for the one that we put trust in? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You guys can go ahead and be seated. Hey, if this is your first time here today, it's Mother's Day, so welcome. Welcome to church this morning. And, you know, we just love to welcome you by clapping for you. So if it's your first time here, welcome. But we don't want to just clap for you, right? We truly want to connect with you. And the easiest way for you to do that is for you to just text the number that comes up on the screen. A small link will come back to you, and then you have to fill out that link. And then just like that, shabam, we're connected to you. And you can have access to all kinds of things, right? We're available on YouTube, on Facebook, on Instagram. We even have a TikTok page, right? But the Church Center app, that is really the best way to stay connected with us because that's where all the events are. There's all kinds of awesome happenings happening there. And if you'd like to meet with Pastor Brad after service, then you can do that out in the Narthex, out in front of the Good Bean Cafe when he's out there. And we have some awesome opportunities. And like I said, you have to have the Church Center app to sign up for a lot of these things. And in order to get that, if you look, there's a seat back or a little QR code on the seat back in front of you. You can just put your camera right on that, and it will take you to a landing page, and you can download it from there. But we have some awesome opportunities, as I was saying, this Wednesday. You know, if you're wondering, is there an ancient reason why America is faltering or struggling today? Hey, join us as Pastor Brad takes us through Return of the Gods, this best-selling book that's out there, and see where that goes. If you guys remember, every year we do this ministry outreach called CareNet Bottles, right? And the CareNet Baby Bottles is a campaign, and it's launching today. So make sure you stop in the Narthex up at the information desk and pick up one of the baby bottles to help support one of our mission organizations. So CareNet Pregnancy Resource Center, and just take it home, fill it in there with checks and cash and coins and all that, and then we'll return it to them because at the end of next month, it'll help support their life-giving mission of ministering to young women who are experiencing unplanned pregnancies. So if you want to check it out, you can check out their homepage, which is psclife.org. And then, because it's a special day, right? It's Mother's Day, and all the moms have lots of responsibilities during the day, especially if you have children. So there is going to be a mom's gathering at the playground on Tuesday, May 16th, and on May 30th. So make sure you guys are joined for that. It'll be some fun and fellowship times. Then next Sunday on the 21st, we have the Ride to the Cross. And then on the 27th, we have our Holy Spirit night. So if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not sure what that's all about, you have questions, make sure you guys join us on the evening of the 27th. And then the following day on May 28th, that is going to be our Military Appreciation Sunday, kind of lumped in with Memorial Day, not to be the two confused, but we are doing a special service on for Military Appreciation on May 28th. And then Summer camp is coming and Ranger Fest is coming. So boys, get ready for Ranger Fest. That's happening on June 23rd to the 25th. And then summer camps. If you guys have not been to summer camps, whether you're in elementary school, middle school, high school, I know all my kids, they love going to summer camp. It is an awesome time to have fellowship with other believers. And it's just a great time of fun, fellowship, and really pressing into what God has for these kids as they grow up. And, you know, we have been going through and doing this aftershock thing, you know, ever since City Quake. Every couple of weeks or every other week we have aftershock and people are going out. And this past week we had several people that went out for their first time. And Andrea is going to come up and share about how when she went out with Marianne and also with Donna.
All right. So real quick, it was just three of us and we saw this man who was sitting on a bench, and Marianne said, let's go talk to him. So we went, we talked to him, and, you know, little short conversations here and there. And then I saw that he had a cane, and I was like, I should just ask if he needs healing, you know, if he's in any pain. So he said, yes. And I said, can we pray for you for that? And he said, yes. So we prayed for him. I laid my hands on his knees, and, afterwards, I said, stand up and walk around and let me know if you feel any pain and is there any pain? And he said, no, it's a zero. And I was like, we were both like, what? Like, praise God. And then he said, like, it was you. And I was like, no, it wasn't us. I said, Jesus is the one that healed you. So we wanted to make a point and very clear that it was him who did the healing. And he walked away. You could just see his face had changed. You know, he was like, wow. Like, so I just wanted to praise God about that. And we had other opportunities where we were able to pray with a few others, but that's just one that I felt, you know, led to share and just encourage everyone that when you step out, God moves. So,
hallelujah to stepping out, right? You don't have to be a pastor to step out. All you have to do is have an opportunity to step out, right? And let just Jesus' light reflect onto other people because he's there for all of us. At this time, I'm going to be releasing all of the youth. So all of the youth are released with Rolando and Bree out to the fellowship hall. And Pastor Brad is to talk to us about tithing offering.
Man, thanks, Chris. Good morning, everyone. How are you? Are you well? All right, so first thing I got to do is someone told me, a friend of mine is here, so I'm looking for you, Bob Baird. Where are you? Right there. Stand up. Just stand up so we can all see you. This guy got saved in his church in 1997. Okay? And lives in Oregon right now, and with his wife, and he told me, I saw him back in, I think it was February when I was out there for a mutual friend's funeral. I saw Ken Gobb at the same time, and he said he was coming out for work, and so here he is. So he's just visiting with us today. A friend, long story, but a friend of his, a military friend of his, invited him to church. Bob came and gave his life to the Lord and has transformed he and his family. Bob, your testimony of God's grace. And you know what? I thank God. It's a thrill to have you here today, Bob. And we welcome you. Great to have you. And don't leave until we get a picture, okay? All right? All right. Good job. Hallelujah. Former military. So it's great to have you here. And you didn't bring Flora? Where's Flora? We're more interested in Flora than you. Sorry. Just kidding. I know. You're here for work. I'm just teasing you. And our best to Linza and Tessie Bank and Beckler, too. We love those guys. Hallelujah. So it's just great. And you never know who's going to show up here. You just never know. It's always a wonderful surprise. We're going to honor the Lord with our giving right now. Let me take you back in time just very quickly and tell you this. Seaport was brand new. And because of a variety of reasons, mainly because I never wanted anybody thinking that the church was about money. I never talked about money, ever. Never talked about money or giving, never talked about anything. As a result of that, the church struggled financially. And as a result of that, Brad and Debbie Whipple and Lindsay Whipple struggled financially. One day, the Lord said to me these words. How would you like him to say this to you? He said, you've robbed my people. I can't tell you the emotions that went through my system at that moment. I said, what are you talking about? I'm honoring you with everything I know to do. I haven't mistreated anyone. I came down here. I took a 70% pay cut to come down and start this church. What are you talking about? And before I could even process my emotions or my thoughts, I heard the Lord say this to me. He said, you have not taught my, this is a verbatim quote, you have not taught my people to tithe and to give so that I might bless them. And I said, well, that changes. And so for 30 plus years, I've not been apprehensive to talk about giving and tithing because I know God is ready and willing to bless you. And that's why I do this. That's why I do it. Some people get uncomfortable when I do it. I'm like, that's you. Ain't my problem. You know, it's your problem, not mine. Because my heart is to see God bless you. In the future, I'm going to tell you about some stunning financial miracles that have happened in this house in the last few weeks. Stunning miracles. And so, hallelujah. Thank God. So, you know, as you give today, don't ever just give. Don't ever just give. Always give this way. God, thank you for blessing me. And I'm trusting you that as I'm found faithful, you'll give me more to be faithful with. Amen?
Amen.
Make sure that's how you give. Don't just give money. Don't just give something because of obligation. Give. So let's do it this way. Lord, as we give, thank you for being able to give. Lord, I'm trying to be faithful. And Lord, as I'm faithful, you'll bless me with more that I might be faithful with that as well. Thanks, Lord. Honor your people today. I wasn't going to do this, but I have to do it. I do this because I believe the Lord wants me to do it. I don't do it for any other reason. And I do it because I know it works. I know it works. The Lord told me, and even right now, it's not my game plan. You can look at the sheet here. But I feel like the Lord wants me to pray again for your financial prosperity. And again, if you don't want that, turn to your neighbor and say, you can have mine. Okay? So this is not planned. But if you say, Pastor Brad, include me in that prayer that I might bless the kingdom of God in other people. Amen?
Amen?
Not so we can buy more junk that we don't use or need. You know? If you want to be included in that prayer, the Lord wants you to stand up. So I'm going to ask you to stand up. If you want to be included in that prayer, you don't want to be, you can be seated. That's up to you. There's no pressure. That's fine. It's whatever you want to do. I know if this prayer works because I've seen it happen dramatically recently in the lives of people here. This is what I want you to do as I pray for you. I just want you to say, God, help me to be found trustworthy. That's what I want you to pray. Help me to be found trustworthy. Amen?
Amen.
God has no problem with blessing us. He has a problem with us being trustworthy. Right?
Yes.
That's the problem. Lord, I pray this way because you want me to. And I know I've watched it recently. God, you want me to pray blessing and prosperity. You want me to pray for financial prosperity. You're very specific with me on that one. And you want to, God, you're asking me to pray. Because I'm agreeing with your will. I'm not praying something out of my own desire or the desire of any person, but out of your direction, of your plan, and of your will. So I'm asking you to release prosperity into the lives of the people of Seaport. God, especially those who have proven themselves faithful with tithes and offerings. I'm asking, God, that you bless them. Because, God, you know what they've done with it. You know what they'll do with it. And we're just trusting you, God, that you're going to release unprecedented, unexpected, unplanned prosperity, and God, in remarkable ways that only you get the glory and the honor for. We receive this and we thank you for it, Lord. Amen, friends?
Amen.
If you really agree with that, then say amen like you believe it. All right, be seated. And remember, when God does it, when God does this, remember, you give him the credit and you tell me so I can rejoice with you. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so thank you. Thank you for that. And if you're new here, please, there's no expectation, no pressure to give, really. So anyway, hallelujah. It's Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day. And you know what? So there's several things in my heart. But right now what I want to do is I want you to watch this little video about moms. Let's watch.
Okay. Say take one and then smack it down.
Action. What does your mom talk about a lot?
Mostly stuff that I cannot question and I don't know about.
Reading. She's trying to get me into reading, I just don't get it.
Taxes.
She doesn't talk about stuff she always thinks is. She always thinks about Beyonce.
What's something your mom's always telling you?
Stop talking about the iPad. No iPad.
Go brush your teeth.
How does she know you didn't brush your teeth? She just knows.
I can't.
You can't remember? Oh.
No, I can't.
Oh, that's okay.
Clean my room.
Is your room get kind of dirty?
Kind of.
Kind of?
Kind of.
Would your mom say it's kind of dirty, or would your mom say, this is dirty?
Kind of.
Are you getting tired of my questions?
Kind of.
Kind of. Does she sing, like, worship music?
It's only my dad who sings worship music.
So your dad sings worship music and your mom sings Beyonce?
Yeah.
If your mom was a superhero, what would her superpowers be?
Fast, so she could just get the laundry done because we always have so much laundry.
So much laundry. Why would she need super speed, you think?
So she wouldn't be late anymore.
So
making people's ear hurt because how loud she sings.
She'd just go, and it would just stop the crime. What does she do at work?
She looks at people, or...
She looks at people?
Well...
That kind of sounds like Facebook.
No. Usually it's just messaging.
Just messaging. Just more messaging. More and more messages. Just constantly. So how does your mom know that you love her?
I tell her that.
You tell her that?
Yeah.
Do you guys say it at the same time like you just did then? Or no.
No. I give her hugs.
We play outside and we ride our scooters and bike.
How do you know that mom loves you?
She does kind stuff.
Yeah.
For me, she does my hair pretty and she always usually sings to me. She cooks really good chicken, spaghetti. She gives us hugs.
Mom hugs are the best, aren't they?
She says, you know what? And I say, you love me. And she's like, how'd you know that? Because you always say it. Yeah, she always says it because she loves me.
She's kind to me and my brother. She's kind to her whole family.
Why is your mom the best mom in the world, do you think?
The only reason is because it's my mom.
You love her just because she's mom?
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Awesome. Do you have any questions about my mom?
Nope.
Not interested at all about my mom?
Nope.
Okay. Fair enough. Great job.
Yeah, that's great what kids say, isn't it? You know? So if you want to be a great mom, that is... loved and appreciated, not only on this special day, but on every day throughout your life, even when the kids are gone. How do you do that? How do you do that? Now, I guess you could look at the example of your own mom. If she was a great example, maybe you could do that. Maybe you could look at the life of another woman that you know that's had a profound impact upon you and look for characteristics. I decided that just for fun, I would ask, well, I can't say a person, I'll say an entity, what makes a great mom? So I asked one of the multiple AI sites, what makes a great mom? And it was interesting what it came back with. Let's take a look at what artificial intelligence, sometimes we wonder if our kids have that, but what did it say makes a great mom? I mean, you know, obviously, you know, the idea of the ideal, perfect, great, whatever, mom varies from culture to culture and kind of season to season. We know that. And we get that. But there are certain qualities, there are certain characteristics that kind of transcend time and culture. And let's just take a look at these 10. I'm going to give them to you very, very, very quickly here. The very first one here is unconditional love. You're not going to hear anything that's like amazing, unbelievable, unexpected. Unconditional love. A mother loves her kids unconditionally, and some days it's easier than others, you know, to do so. Supports them when they're up and supports them when they're down, and knowing that there's going to be a lot of ups and a lot of downs. You know, she's patient. She's patient. You know, obviously, moms have already discovered that one child is not going to be exactly like the other child. And they're going to, the kids are going to vary from season to season. They're going to be excited one moment, depressed the next. Their emotions are going to go all over the place. It's going to take time to help that child understand themselves. And it's a big job. So they're patient. They're patient. They're selfless. Moms often sacrifice their own desires in order that their kids can have what they need. Of course, the smart mom realizes that there is a time and importance for self-care as well in order to be her best for her family. But they live generally selfless lives. And it's just amazing. My mom was very much like that. Very, very much like that. And raising four boys all close in ages, there wasn't much time to be focused on self. Obviously, she's consistent. Your kids thrive on consistency and routine. And so she does her best to keep the home from being chaotic and up and down and unpredictable. She tries to keep some kind of predictability to life and to schedule so that her kids can thrive. She's a communicator. She can listen. She can talk. She's open. She's honest. She tries to foster an environment where the kids are free to talk and that they can tell her anything, anything. She's nurturing. She's nurturing. A great mother provides a nurturing environment where she's on a mission to nurture them emotionally, spiritually, you know, mentally, physically, and in every way. Great moms are empathetic. They're empathetic. They understand, they emphasize with the child's feelings and experiences like nobody else. Dad's more like, hey, get over it, stop crying. What's the matter with you? Mom is much more in tune. And Mom, one of the great jobs that you have is helping Dad understand the kids. You are their interpreter, their ambassador, their liaison. You know, and that's one of the critical roles that God gave you, you know. And yeah, many times you have, this is kind of an aside, sometimes you have to sit Dad down and go, let me help you understand. And dads, you have to be humble enough to hear it. How about that? That was free. That wasn't AI. That was free. Okay. She's flexible. A great mother is flexible. Kids are constantly changing, aren't they, in size? You just buy that pair of pants, they no longer fit. You know, and they're continually changing. Oh, they love this! Next day, what? Forgot all about it. They're flexible, they can flex, but they are a person of discipline. They know that their child will be healthy and strong if they have proper discipline, where they have boundaries, where they have guidelines, and those are enforced. And those are enforced. You know, she's a role model. A great mom leads by example and models the behaviors and the values that she wants her child to imitate and to embrace. I can't say I find anything wrong with what AI said. I would have to agree with all of these things, you know. But there's more to it than that, for sure, you know, for sure. I mean, just stop for a moment and think. If you were such an amazing mom that you got your story told in a best-selling book. Well, I want to look at six moms who got their story told in the greatest book, the world's all-time best-selling book, the Bible. I want to tell you there's many more than the six that I've chosen today, and these are all different kinds of moms, you know. And all of you can breathe a sigh of relief. We're not going to Proverbs 31. Another time for that one. another time. Some of you are not from Proverbs 31. Yes, break it out and read it, and you'll understand. Okay. Well, so let's take a look at the number one mom. And these aren't in any particular kind of order, okay? This is actually a mom and grandma team, is what it really is. I mean, they're living in the twin cities in modern-day Turkey of Lystra and Derbe. I mean, the husband, son-in-law, is out of the picture. We don't know why he's not there. He's just casually mentioned, but we don't ever meet him. We don't ever see him. We don't know anything about him. So we're just left to assume that he's out of the scene for whatever reason. And these two women are basically left. They're left to fend for themselves, it seems, in a culture where there was no safety nets of any kind. Basically just to fend for themselves, and at the same time to raise son and grandson, Timothy. And I mean, these two work hard, and the impact of their lives on Timothy needs to be said, and I want to tell you just a little bit about them. Lois and Eunice, they lived a life of genuine faith, and they taught Timothy how to genuinely care about other people, and I'm going to tell you how I know that. I mean, it's an amazing job that they did. When Luke tells the story of the early church, we come to Acts chapter 16, we see Paul rolling into these cities, and he meets Eunice and Lois, and he comes into contact with Timothy. And Timothy's about 16 years of age at the time. And this is what Luke writes. Timothy was well thought of by the believers in both of those cities. That tells me that mom and grandma were very involved, and Timothy went along. And he was highly thought of. And so when Paul meets him, he goes, I want that guy on my team. And they give him up. Actually, that's pretty costly what they just did there. As the male heir who would eventually come and support them, they were giving up their future to go with Paul on an unknown journey. And so Timothy would then check out and spend the rest of his life traveling with the Apostle Paul on all kinds of special assignments. But the Apostle Paul, at the very end of his life, sitting in a hole with a Roman prison, waiting to be executed, would write this to Timothy. He said, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that that same faith continues strong in you. This is 30 plus years later. I bet you Eunice and Lois knew Proverbs 22:6. Raise up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Timothy was a poster child for that very thing. He had a genuine faith that impacted that. They had a genuine faith that impacted that young man profoundly, even to the point where the Apostle Paul would write about him. When he sends a letter to the church at Philippi, he writes about Timothy. This is what he says about this young guy. He says, I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. Those two women had taught that young man to so love the people of God that Paul puts that kind of, you know, stamp of approval on his life. I have no one else like him. You know, he learned to care for Paul and he learned to care for people. Mom, teach your kids to love others. It's amazing what God will use and do through them. Here's number two, mom. She desperately wanted a child. Desperately wanted a child. In her culture, in her time, a woman was ridiculed if she didn't have a child. She was ridiculed as less than, you know, is not able to fulfill her purpose, her God-designed purpose. And she carries shame and grief, although it's so unfair. But that's just the way the culture was at the time, right or wrong. That's what it was. And in a moment of gut-wrenching anguish, where her heart was so tortured and conflicted, that as she went to pray, the words couldn't even be formed in her mouth. God hears and answers her prayer for a son, but not just any son. God would give her an amazing son. You know, a boy that had only, some say, as young as 2, others say as old as 12, whom she would fulfill her deal with God, that if he gave her a son, he would give that son to him for his glory. And at two, somewhere between the ages of 2 and 12, she would take him to the temple, be given to the priest to raise. Can you imagine this? They say this at every baby dedication. Understand something. Understand something. Hannah would see her son about once a year after that. She would come up for an annual feast and sacrifice, and she would prepare a new coat for him once a year. And you might say, wow, I'm glad God didn't ask me to do that. Yeah, I get that. I get that. But look at what it says. The Lord was gracious to Hannah and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord. Her oldest son, Samuel, went on to become the spiritual and political leader of her nation. He would anoint kings, Saul and David. There would be 2 books named after him, 1 and 2 Samuel in the Old Testament. Hannah kept her promise and let her child go. Amazing. When you dedicate a child and you say, God, this is your child that you've blessed me with. I trust you to guide them and direct them. He takes that pretty seriously. And it's amazing what God will do if you let him. If you let him. Remember the simple truth. You can't possibly love your child the same way that God does. As amazing as your love is, his love for your child is far greater. It's far greater. And he will guide. He will watch over that child, you know. And if they will continue to trust him and you will trust him, their lives will be used in ways you couldn't imagine. Remember something. You can't always be with them, but he always can be. When our daughter, Lindsay, ended up going to college in Brooklyn, New York, you can understand why parents would be like a little apprehensive. Brooklyn, New York. And all I'm going to say is this. Every day when I prayed for her, I said, Lord, I can't be there, but you're there. Guide her. Protect her. Keep your hand on her. And ask Lindsay sometimes. She's got crazy stories of God's protection and care during those 4 years living there. And I'm grateful for that. When you dedicate your child to God, he's serious about that. You know, it's amazing what he'll do if you will trust him and honor what commitments you've made. Amen? Here's mom number 3. There couldn't have been a worse possible time to become pregnant. It couldn't have been a worse time. Here's why. The people of God are in Egypt. A Pharaoh is now afraid of their growing, burgeoning numbers in the population, and he decides he's going to enslave them to build 2 of his major cities, at the same time wear them down in hopes of slowing down their population and the such. But that when that didn't work, he decided that he would go the next level, and he commanded all the Hebrew midwives, if any of the Hebrew slaves had a son, they were to immediately kill the son at birth. Imagine that job. But the Hebrew midwives didn't play the Pharaoh's game. You got to read the story. It's pretty crazy. And when that didn't work, Pharaoh said, okay, and he ups the ante one more time. And he, listen to this, he sends an order to all the people of Egypt saying, go make sure that you kill all newborn male sons of the Hebrews. Imagine. At that time, it says Amram and Jochebed. Did you get that one right in the trivia? Jochebed, did you get that? Yeah. They married and had a son. Oh, my word. Jochebed saw that he was a special baby and kept him for 3 months, the scripture says. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made out of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in a basket and laid it among the reeds on the bank of the Nile River. Now, if you know the story, I don't have time to tell you all the details. If you know the story, Moses' older sister Miriam was kind of hiding out, waiting to see what happened. These people were pretty smart, by the way. They put her in a place where they knew that Pharaoh's daughter would come down to the river to bathe. And so that when Pharaoh's daughter came down and saw that, she rescued that basket and the baby inside of it and named him Moses, meaning I drew you out of the waters. And Miriam, of course, runs up to Pharaoh's daughter and said, oh, do you need a Hebrew mother to care for this child? Beautiful. And Jochebed is paid by Pharaoh to care for her own son. How do you like that? Jochebed's frightening birth of Moses led to a plan and a blessing. Mom, when things are tough and you don't know what you're going to do, remember God has a plan. God will care for you. He'll care for that baby. He'll make a way. It may not go according to your plan, but it will go according to his plan. And even if you get pregnant at the worst possible time, God still got it. He still loves that child. He'll still care for that child. God gave you that precious gift, and he'll give you a plan to care for them. If you've never read that story or spent a long time, go to the second book of the Bible, Exodus, in chapters 1 and 2, and read this story. It's really amazing. Oh, and by the way, of course, Moses goes on to become the great deliverer of his people from that very bondage. And do you know that Moses today looks down on the houses of Congress? His face is there, looking down at the podium and upon that group of people, a face that calls them to do what is right and honor God. You know that? Fourth mom. She and her husband are introduced by Luke in his book that bears his name as righteous in God's eyes to obey all the Lord's commands and regulations. Now, they had no children because Elizabeth, as well as Elizabeth, was unable to conceive as they were both very old. Elizabeth was facing two challenges there, you know, the inability to conceive and age. Very challenging. And again, although a different culture than Hannah's, similar in many ways, much several hundred years to separate them, Elizabeth is in a culture. She's in a culture where there's kind of this underlying idea that if you're married and you don't have children, that, well, there's something wrong with you or you're displeasing to God. That's why Luke goes out of his way to make sure that he says that they were righteous in the eyes of God and followed through on all of his commands. That's Luke's way of simply saying there was no hidden sin in their lives. There was no hidden sin. He's right, and he's very careful to delineate that. And so in one incredible and unexpected moment, when it's Zachariah's turn as a priest, there was a rotation of duty. Just many of you can relate to that. There was a rotation of duty as far as the priest of going into the temple and carrying out priestly duties. While he's in there, unexpectedly, he encounters an angel. And the angel tells him that he is going to have a son, and he is going to name that son John, even though nobody in their family has that name. Zechariah would return home and Elizabeth would conceive. And when he was born, they would name him John. Most of us know him better by the name John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. You know, unlike her Old Testament counterpart, Sarah of Abraham and Sarah fame, this lady, when she received the prophecy, there's no indication that she laughed or doubted. She hung on to what was said to her and believed God, even though it made no sense. Mom, Elizabeth believed for a miracle, but received more than she could have imagined. Mom, what God has said to you about your future children or your present kids and what God is going to do with them, do not doubt it, but stand in faith and trust him to accomplish what he said he would do. Do you hear me? Do not look at the situation. Look at the God who is greater than. Here's number five, Mom. This is one really tough story. This is a really, really tough story. This is life is going on in the little town of Bethlehem like it always had. No big deal. And suddenly famine strikes and things are awful. Things are terrible. not knowing what to do. Not knowing what to do. She, husband, and their two sons leave not only Bethlehem, but go to a foreign country just to try to make life work. They're there for an undisclosed period of time. We're not told how long they're there. When the husband dies, now Naomi is left with her two sons in a strange land. I bet you there had to be a day when she said, God, where are you in all of this? Her sons would grow and find Moabitess women to marry, would marry, and things were good. Life was good. They've been married, both boys have been married about 10 years when, for reasons we're not told, both of them die. And now it's Ruth and her two daughter-in-laws. What are we going to do now? No means of support. Again, in a culture that gave very little place or opportunity, provided much of anything for women. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do? News reaches them that the famine is over. It's been a number of years. The famine is over and the crops are good. And so Naomi says, you know what? I'm going to return back to my homeland. I have nothing really here. The whole me. I'm going to go back home. And so she would set out with her daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah, not Oprah, but Orpah. She would go and she would set out back to Bethlehem from Moab. And on the way, you kind of get the feeling that they get into this very intense conversation because it's almost like Naomi goes, wait a minute. It's almost like she turns around and says to her two daughter-in-laws, she said, wait a minute. There's no sense in you coming along with me. That's not your country. That's not your homeland. Go back to the homes of your fathers. Go back to your mothers. Go back there. And perchance God will bless you and give you a new husband and a new family. Don't bother to come with me. Go back home. And it sounds like there's kind of a back and forth conversation that goes on. And finally, Orpah kind of relents and says, okay. And she returns back home. Back home. And fades from view. Ruth, on the other hand, says, no. And she issues what she's most known for. Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Whoa. That's quite a statement. That's quite a statement. Upon their arrival in Bethlehem, there's a big stir. Of course, they really had very little means. They were trying to just regain life and property and all the sort of things that would happen in coming back after a long absence like that. Naomi knew the culture and she knew how things worked. It hadn't changed. She knew the laws and all the rest. And so she sent Ruth out into the threshing field as a way of just making food, gaining food and gaining money. But she does more because that was the best way, because she knew the laws and she knew that that was permissible and a good thing to do and advocated by the laws of Moses. Naomi was an amazing mother-in-law because she did more than that. She was the preeminent matchmaker. She knew how it worked. And she knew that there was a very wealthy and influential man in town by the name of Boaz. And she says to Ruth, Ruth, go over here. You can read the story. I won't tell you. Go over here and do this. And sure enough, gets Boaz's attention. I kind of get the impression, although he was wealthy and influential, it might have been a little slow on the uptake. But and so Naomi says, go do this. He'll get the message. He got the message. It took him a little bit, but he got the message. And he eventually would marry her. Would marry her. Here's the point. Naomi, in her deep grief and unbelievable loss, was profoundly concerned, not for herself, but for her daughter-in-laws. She loved them, cared for them, had their best interest at heart, uses all of her connections and all of her understanding to make sure that they were blessed. In the process, so was Naomi. But she made sure that she was. But here's the big deal. Here's the big deal. I don't think Naomi knew this. I don't know if she knew it or not. But because Boaz would marry Ruth, this non-Jew would become the grandmother of Obed, the grandfather of David, who then would be in the very lineage of the Messiah. This woman who has suffered so much is remembered as being one of the progenitors of the Messiah. Thank God for a mother-in-law that was so gracious and so kind and so concerned. If you're a mother-in-law, be that kind. Be that kind. One final mom I want to give to you. One final mom. Most of us in the room are very familiar with Mary, mother of Jesus. That probably 14, 15, 16-year-old girl who has an encounter with an angel and suddenly finds out that she's going to be pregnant by divine, not human means, and subject to all kinds of derision and question potentially. Becoming pregnant in her culture could, in some cases, and it did happen in some cases, subject one to being penalized by death through stoning. At best, it would be a life of shame. A life of shame. She knew all of that, but accepted it. Most of us know the story of her and Joseph making an 80-mile donkey back trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. 80 miles is a good drive in a car, let alone on a donkey. And that fulfilled the prophecy in Micah 5:2. We also know that not long after Jesus is born, they have to flee to Egypt to protect the life, again, of a madman trying to kill Hebrew male children. Again, that would fulfill prophetic words about the flight to Egypt and then the subsequent return to Nazareth. But I want to refer to what Luke says about Mary's parenting. And Joseph, of course. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. Under her parenting, Jesus grew in wisdom. Mom, talk, listen, create an environment where your kids can tell you anything. They can tell you anything. Create that kind of environment. Ask them questions. To get them to grow an understanding of how knowledge applies to life. Because that is wisdom. Mary did that with Joseph. Jesus. Look at this. What else Luke says here? He grew in stature or strength. You can understand that to be physical strength and height. Mom, one of your jobs, and it's a tough one, is to guide your children to be strong and to be healthy and to make the right decisions about the thing, how they engage their body. That's one of your big jobs. Not that it's not Dad's, it's his job too. But that's one of your big jobs, is to help them to grow to be healthy and how they express themselves and what they eat, how they exercise, how they handle their sexuality. That's your job. And remember, there are two genders and only two. There will never be any other. There's just two. He grew also in favor with God, his spirituality. Do daily devotions with your kids, even if it's just before dinner or around the dinner table or around the breakfast table or whatever works in your home, just before bed. Do that. Be consistent and diligent and faithful. Keep them in Rangers. Keep them in Impact. Keep them in Kids Church. Keep them coming to this church because it's more important than what you know. It's a good place for an amen. Amen. Kind of weak, but I'll take it. Get them involved. Keep them involved in these things. Even when they give pushback. Why? When they get pushback, you say you don't have to go to church, but you don't do that with school. What's up with that? And then they grew in favor with man, relationships. Jesus grew. Mom and dad. Teach your kid manners. Teach your kids they don't need to run through the sanctuary and run all over the platform. Teach your kid to have proper manners in their home and in the homes of your friends. It won't hurt them to say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. It won't hurt them. Highly unusual in our culture. But teach them to have good manners, to respect people, how they conduct themselves everywhere. Teach them that. Teach them that. You want the experience that I just had a week ago. It's not my son, it's my grandson. On Grandparents' Day, I met with my grandson's teacher, Debbie and I did, in his classroom. It was Grandparents' Day. How could you miss it? She said a lot of things, but she said, you know, he's so well-mannered. Kudos to Lindsay and Matt. I said to my daughter growing up, trying to teach her about how to conduct herself and handling situations, you've heard me say this, there may come a day when you're in the presence of very powerful, influential, affluent people, and I need to know, and you need to be able to know how to conduct yourself in that environment, let alone just day to day with regular, normal people. And Lindsay has been in those situations. You don't know how God will lead your child. Teach them good manners. They can handle themselves in no matter what situation that they're in. Amen?
Amen.
Grow in wisdom, stature, favor with God and with man. I've given you a great deal. Do two things as a result of this message. Go back and read the story of one of the women that I've talked to you about, one of these moms. Read their story, the one that maybe resonated with you the most. Go back and read their story, because there's a lot more to their story than what I was able to tell you in this brief message. Do the second thing and review the four areas that we just went through. Say, God, give me the ability to raise your child, my child, for you. Help me to get there. It takes his grace and takes his strength, doesn't it? There, I know, believe me, there are some days when you want to send the kid back. Or well, you'll, anybody. We've all been there. But let me tell you something that you know. That season of your life closes so fast, it's unbelievable. It's over. It's over. But if you do it right, if you do it well, the very first thing that will happen is your kid will leave your house. That's a plus. The second thing is your child will want to be with you even when they're long into their adult years, and they'll love you and they'll respect you and they'll appreciate you if you do it well. Can we do it well? In a moment, I'm going to pray for all the moms. All the moms. I want you to watch this brief video. I don't care what kind of season of motherhood you're in, but in just a moment after this video, I'm going to stand. You're going to have to stand, moms, and I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to go. But let's take a look at this video. We salute you. Watch.
Today is Mother's Day, and we want to acknowledge all the women we're blessed to know. We rejoice over you, for your strength, your wisdom, your strong love, your beautiful faith. Whether today is a celebration for you or a day of quiet reflection and healing, we're thinking of all of you. If you gave birth this year to your first child, our joy overflows and we celebrate with you. If you adopted a child this year or became a foster parent, we rejoice with you and we want to honor you in your commitment to changing the lives of children. If you continue to struggle with infertility, we're hoping with you and holding your hand in prayer. If you are exhausted and feeling underappreciated for all you do for a house full of kids, we applaud you. We love you and we appreciate you more than you can ever imagine. And if you lost a child this year to death or miscarriage, we weep and mourn with you. And if your child is lost to addiction or to the world, we hurt with you. And we join you in putting our hope in the one who brings prodigals home. If you live with painful memories of your mom, we pray that you will find in a spiritual mother all that you never had from a birth mom. And if you're one of those amazing spiritual moms, we thank you for stepping up and being there when others couldn't. If you're experiencing an empty nest for the first time this year, we walk with you in this new season and are excited about the next chapter God has planned for you. If you're single, we celebrate your strength, beauty, and individuality, and join with you in praying for the desires of your heart. If you're a single mom and wonder if you have the physical energy and financial resources to raise and provide for your child or children, we want to help you, and we will. And if you're pregnant for the first time, we prayerfully anticipate with you the joyful birth of a healthy child. And to all the special women on this Mother's Day, rest and delight in knowing that we are thankful for you, and we celebrate each and every one of you.
Stand with me. All of you moms, any kind of mom, stand with me. Mother's Day is a day of great rejoicing for some and a day of great pain for others, and I understand that. I'll just say this, wherever you're at, God is near. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for each of these moms, whatever season of motherhood they may be in. Lord, maybe they've been given others to mother for you. Or maybe they've struggling, wondering. Maybe they're in just a great season. Lord, maybe they're wondering what tomorrow holds. Or God, they're just feeling stressed. Or maybe others just feel just elated and thrilled with this season of their life. God, wherever they're at, whatever season or moment that they're in, I pray, God, that they would feel near to you. And you, God, because you are near to them. Answer, God, some of the questions that they have that maybe, God, just they struggle to come to terms with, or they don't have seemingly an answer that makes any sense. Lord, I pray for those that are pregnant, that they indeed would have a healthy pregnancy and delivery. I pray, God, those who have experienced loss would get through the incredible pain of that. Those, Lord, who want to be pregnant and yet can't because of whatever reason. God, the examples of your word are many. You do cause divine conception, supernatural. God, regardless, I pray for every grandma, Lord, who sometimes has to love from afar, and that's hard. God, that they would exert godly influence even from afar. I pray for every mother-in-law, God, that they would be like a Naomi and love well, and love well. Regardless of what season that they're in, Father, may the wonderful power of your Spirit be upon each and every one of them today. Encourage them, strengthen them, and help them, I pray. And would everybody say with me, amen?
Amen.
I want everybody to stand with me. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray a prayer of dismissal, and you're going to be free to go. If you feel like you need prayer for some reason, come on up here. We'll pray for you for sure. But I'm going to dismiss us. You can go off to your Mother's Day plans. But I hope that you'll embrace this message and take hold of it. I hope that if you're here today and you've never invited Christ to come into your life, you're a religious person, you're a spiritual person, you're a good person, all that's great, but you still need Jesus. He's the only one that's going to get you into heaven. You need him. You need to ask him to forgive you of your sins. You need to ask him to come into your life and set you on a new path. And when you do, he will. He will. But he's waiting for the invitation. He's not going to smash through the door. It's not a home invasion. He's knocking. So if you need to do that, they'll help you up here. I'm going to pray. They're going to just put music on. And then you can receive or go. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we have a moment to honor the great gift of moms to all of us. And I pray that God, that some of us, even I think of many of us today, are wishing that mom was still here, but she's gone. Lord, no matter what's happening with any of us, may we receive your grace. As we go today, may your light and may your love just shine through us. And so the people look at us and they go, I need what you have. Help us to live that way, I pray. Dismiss us in your great grace. Thanks, Lord. Amen, friends. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. If you need prayer, come right up here and they'll pray for you. Hallelujah. God bless you guys. Thank you. Let me say this. I forgot something. Thanks to my wife. Hey, moms, there's a special gift out there in the narthex for you. Just a little something to say thank you. Stop by the table and get something. Thank you.